Long before the days of American Idol, there was Eurovision. The International Song Contest goes back to the 1950s. It's still going strong, and for fans, it's the most fabulous event of the year. Eurovision doesn't actually happen until May, but there's been some political drama playing out already. Ukraine has dropped out of the contest. Paul Jordan is an expert on Eurovision, and he joins us from the BBC in London. Paul, why did Ukraine pull out of Eurovision this year?
Ukraine have pulled out of the competition over tensions with Russia. They had a national selection show to choose their act for the Eurovision finals in May, and the winning act withdrew her entry from the competition after she was asked to sign an agreement. She disagreed with some of the political points in there. She felt that she was being used as a political tool against Ukraine.
And what was she being asked to do that she disagreed with? And we should say the artist is named Maruv.
She was asked during the live shows whether she considered Crimea to be part of Russia or Ukraine.
Crimea is Ukraine?
Ukraine, of course.
They were almost testing her loyalty to the country.
So now Ukraine has no participant in the Eurovision Song Contest in May. How big of a deal is this?
This is quite a big scandal, and it's a scandal because it's one of Ukraine's own making. This is the broadcaster itself that have deliberately politicised their own competition. But this isn't the first time something like this has happened. In 2017, when the contest was held in Ukraine, Russia withdrew over tensions with the host country. And also in 2009, the Georgian entry, that was called We Don't Want to Put In. That came the year after the war with Russia. Now, they denied that it was political, but they refused to change the lyrics, so therefore had to withdraw from the competition.
So there's a huge irony here, because aren't the origins of the Eurovision Song Contest all about fostering unity? I mean, a sort of post-war effort to foster unity among European nations?
Well, Eurovision started in the 50s almost as a television experiment to bring countries together in the spirit of friendly competition. But you do see politics entering the contest year upon year, even though the organisers try to make sure that the politics doesn't come into it. But like any large-scale international event, whether it be the World Cup or the Olympic Games, politics is there bubbling under the surface.
Paul, I have to ask, you've written your dissertation on Eurovision. You even go by the name Dr. Eurovision. How did you get into this?
Well, it was a idea that came when I was studying history and politics at Glasgow University, and it was at the time that Ukraine had just won Eurovision, and there was the Orange Revolution going on as well. So they were trying to prepare for this contest against the backdrop of, you know, a big revolution. And my tutor at the time suggested that I might want to write my undergrad dissertation on that. I did. And then when that finished, he suggested that I might want to apply for a PhD, as he felt there were different topics to explore. So in particular, I looked at Estonia and Ukraine, this concept of nation branding, the idea of selling the state on the world stage, using pop culture, in particular Eurovision, as a way of doing so. But it actually got into a lot of debates about national identity, and a lot of it was about saying who they were. They were not former Soviet, they were Western European countries, or certainly in Estonia's case, they considered themselves to be Nordic, and they really didn't like this idea of being seen as linked with Russia. They very much wanted to be aligned with Scandinavia, and that's what they tried to do through Eurovision and the way in which they hosted the event.
Paul Jordan is an expert on Eurovision. Thanks a lot, Paul.
No worries. Thank you.
Come to me.